We want to welcome you to Word on Wednesday. This is our Bible study for this week. We pray that these Bible studies have been an encouragement to you and your family. In today's segment, we wanted to continue our discussion on the renewal of your mind. The renewal of your mind as we come from Romans chapter 12, the 12th chapter rather, and we'll see how far we get. But let us pray so we can get started on this Bible study. Father God, we do thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for watching us through all of these weeks, all of these months, all of these years. Master, it's only by your grace that we are able to do what we do. But Master, may our offering be accepted by you, and may our offering be of benefit for your kingdom building. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, we welcome you, and we want to take a look at Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 3. In verses 1 through 2 last week, we talked about how Paul uses the imagery of a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice like in the Old Testament where bullocks and oxen were offered to God to satisfy his requirement. Paul uses the same concept, but this time around, he's given embodiment to the shadows of the Old Testament. So those that read this passage could easily understand what was going on in the Old Testament in terms of appeasing God, in terms of satisfying God for the sins of Israel. They were encouraged and they were instructed to offer up a perfect sacrifice for the atonement. In the same way, Paul is telling us as Christians that God is looking for us to be the sacrifice. So in terms of making sure that our lifestyle, what we do, is in a way that's pleasing to God, it's a sweet aroma to the nostrils of God. So we become the sacrifice. And in becoming the sacrifice, there are some things that ought to be dead to us. Lying should be dead to us. Gossip should be dead to us. Not being interested in godly things ought to be dead to us. Sexual immorality should be dead to us. It shouldn't be active. It shouldn't be prevailing. We are a living sacrifice. And through the blood of Christ, we are made perfect, not of our own, but because of who we know and because of who we've accepted, we are the sacrifice. So holiness follows this recipe. We are called to be holy as God is holy. But our holiness is displayed in a finite way, whereas God's holiness is infinite. God's holiness is eternal. Our holiness is limited and finite, meaning that God has given us an example of how we can be holy as humans. So we ought to pray, right? The term holiness means set apart for God to use. So you have been set apart for God to use. Isn't that a great thing that despite all that we've done, despite all of the dirt that we've done, that the blood of Jesus has washed us white as snow, and now we're considered holy? God sees you as holy. So regardless of what you've done, and if you confess your sins to God, he's forgiven you. Now you have to forgive yourself and start walking in holiness. So let's look at verse number 3. For I say through you, the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So through faith, we believe that we've been forgiven. Through faith, we are confident that God has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. So now he's inviting us to think soberly. And that word in the Greek, sophronian, means to be sensible, to think sensibly, to think with a sound mind, to have sound judgment. And that's what we're saved for. Once God has saved us, He wants us to renew our minds. And part of that is to think soberly, to be able to put in action sound judgment based on wisdom. And that term wisdom is the Greek word sophia. Wisdom, knowledge applied, not just having knowledge, not just being able to quote the scriptures, not just being able to know where the books of the Bible are, not just being able to say the religious things, but to be able to use them in the right circumstances and in the right situations. A lot of people have head knowledge, but they don't know how to apply it. And so when we follow God, not only are we educated, but He shows us when to say things. He shows us where to go. He tells us how long to stay. And then He tells us who to talk to and who not to talk to. So wisdom applied is all part of this holiness concept. And if we do that, then we're thinking soberly. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. This is a great illustration. God has gifted us with many functions. One person should not try to do everything. God has gifted you to the body of Christ. So in the church, there are different members, just like in the body, we have an eye, we have a nose, we have hands, we have feet, we have a tongue, different faculties, but they're all part of one body. Likewise, in the church, we have preachers, we have teachers, we have choir members, we have ushers, we have deacons, different members. So if you're watching me today, please, if you're not active in ministry, you're not fulfilling your divine purpose. If you're not in ministry, you're not fulfilling the will of God for your life. So God encourages us. God mandates that we all get connected in ministry. God didn't say that we weren't going to have challenges in ministry. Oh, yes, we're dealing with people. So we will have challenges. But despite it all, I can hear the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. No Christian has been called to sit on the sideline. All of us are to be active in our ministries. The members of a church ought to be involved in ministry. We ought to be out there sharing the gospel. We ought to be out there discipling. We ought to be out there engaged in encouraging people inside the church as well as out. Our gifts need to be exercised for the Lord. So whatever it is that you're gifted with, use it for the glory of the Lord. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in their exhortation, he who gives liberally, he who leads, he who is diligent, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So these are examples that the Bible has given us. We need to be connected. There's something that you can do in God's church. Here at St. Paul, we welcome you. We want you to be plugged in. And if you've been in ministry for an extended period of time, we pray that you talk to God and make sure that you're still in the right position. Talk to God to make sure that He's not moving you on into another ministry. Talk to God to make sure that your gifts are being exercised the way that He wants it to be exercised. Just because, as an example, just because you teach in a school system doesn't mean that you'll be teaching in God's church. He might have you doing something else. But through your desire to want to work and to want to exercise your gift in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, in conjunction with talking to you, the pastor, you too can find out where you need to be. It's not permissible for you to sit on the sideline. The devil wants you to be on the sideline, but we have a renewed mind. We know that God has called us into a greater purpose. So God has an assignment for you. The reason why the devil is trying so hard to keep you away, because he knows there's a blessing in being in ministry. There's a blessing in being active in the Lord's work. There's nothing like sharing the gospel and watching someone say, yes, I want to share, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because of the gospel that you just preached to me. There's nothing like having somebody come back and say, thank you, my prayers were answered because of your prayers and because of my prayers. You interceding on my behalf moved the needle, and God blessed me with whatever he blessed you with. There's nothing like exhortation and being able to encourage people and being able to thank God and praise him for all that he's done. So the devil wants you to not be in ministry because he knows that's where your help is going to come from. When you participate in ministry, when you see the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life as you try to touch other people, there's nothing else. It can't be duplicated in a classroom. It can't be duplicated by sitting in the pews. You can only experience this aspect of God when you are faithful to what he's called you to do. So I'm encouraging you, get involved in ministry. Exercise your gift. Your prayers may not be answered. Some of you all are frustrated and you're wondering, how come my prayers are not being answered? Have you been faithful? Have you been obedient to listening to God's Holy Spirit? Get involved, get involved, get involved. But you have yet to get involved. You have yet to give God your all. And we wonder why our prayers are not being answered. It just could be. We haven't been obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. But you know this and God knows it. So to make sure that our prayers get answered, we need to be obedient to what God has already called us to do. Then Paul reminds the church that we ought to behave like a Christian. Let love be without hypocrisy or dissimulation. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Again, abhor what is evil. Evil is corruption of the good. The good is God. The good is the God and his teaching and what he's teaching us. That's the good. And in him creating us, he said that was good. But what's happened is sin has corrupted the good. And as long as that corruption prevails without the power of the Holy Spirit, evil persists. So we have to combat evil through the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. Now you may be saying, well, I don't do evil things. Well, let me challenge you. Many of you all get on the social platforms, and some of the things that you post are not edifying. They bring people down, or they are making other people look bad, or they may be crude jokes that we forward and we retag and we repost and we inbox people and we never think anything about it. We spread gossip sometimes on social media and we haven't vetted out if the information is correct. And this information can hurt other people. So we need to be careful that all we do is focus on building other people up and not tearing anybody down. Whether we're talking to someone or you are on Facebook or you on Twitter or Instagram or TikTok or whatever platform you use, we need to make sure that God is glorified by the things that we're posting and by the things that we say. So it's all about holiness. If this world is going to change, if this race issue is going to get any better, we have to go back to the Creator and look at what he's already told us. If Christians would just be Christians, if Christians would show the love of Jesus Christ, if Christians would go out and share the gospel the way that we need to be, our neighborhoods would be better. Our homes would be better. Our communities will be better and this nation will be better. But we have too many undercover Christians. People who say they love Jesus, but their actions don't match up with what they say. Let love be without hypocrisy. And to say that we love Jesus and to not live out the creeds of the scriptures is hypocrisy.
That's what Paul is talking about. Don't say one thing and do another thing. Abhor what is evil. Stay away from it. Cling to what is good. Whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good report, if there's going to be any virtue, if there's going to be any praise, God wants us to think on these things. So in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, rejoicing by being patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. These are the good works that the scripture talks about. And it's not that's not the whole exhaustive list, but these are some things that we can look in the mirror to see if we are engaging in. Are you rejoicing in hope? Right? Regardless of what we're going through, regardless of any disease, regardless of any threats, are you still able to rejoice in hope? Not saying you are being delusional and not acknowledging the trial that you're facing, but despite the trial, we're able to still find joy, to know that despite the inability to pay rent, Jesus is still good and he's going to come through. Despite the ailments in our knees and arthritis and back pains and feet soreness, Jesus is still good. I can find joy just when I think about him and all the things that he's done for me. Then patient in tribulation, going through persecution for Jesus' sake. With people talking about you, oh, you think you're so holy. Oh, look at you. You think you know God better than other people. And you're not even trying to come across in an arrogant way. But other people are jealous at times and they talk about you. But that's okay. You still ought to be patient in tribulation. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication. Be patient. Be patient. If God hasn't answered your prayers today, you keep holding on because God is good for it. Whatever God has promised us, he will redeem it. Then you continue steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints and giving to hospitality. There's no better time than this. Our community is looking for answers. There are many people confused. We as a church, we have the answer. We have the balm of Gilead. We have the gospel that offers the peace that surpasses all understanding. We have what people need. We have to give it out. Give it out. And it's going to cost us something. Not just money. We do have to spend money sometimes. But it's going to cost us our attitude. It's going to cost us our laziness. It's going to cost us our faithlessness. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us to give some things up so God can better use us for kingdom building. And it starts with the renewal of our mind. Are you willing, or have you been convinced by the Holy Spirit to turn a new leaf, to start serving Jesus better, to start taking your faith seriously? And I promise you, when you take Jesus seriously, when you take the word of God seriously, your life will never be the same. Maybe you've been going to church 30, 40, 50 years, but you have stopped at a limit in your walk and you refuse to go any further. God is challenging you. The Holy Spirit is talking to you. He has something better for you to do in terms of what his will is, but you have been resistant. You have been fighting him. Today is your day to say, Lord, I surrender all. My mind is changed. My mind is going to be renewed, and I want to do things your way. Lord, help me from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. We pray this Bible study has been edifying to you. Please continue to pray for yourself and continue to pray for this church. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.